Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to the Bee Lab. I've got a lesson I want to do today, something I'm going to try in the hive, called the Demaray vertical split, or the Demaray manipulation, or the Demaray split. It's swarm season here in Jacksonville. We are in our third week. I've already had one small swarm out of a hive that snuck away from me. I talked about that on a previous video. Probably wouldn't have known it swarmed had I not seen my hive scale drop by 2.5 pounds at 9:30 in the morning on the day they swarmed, because I wasn't in the apiary. But your strong hives, it's too early for the flow. The flow here in Jacksonville comes the last end of March, first end of April, depending on the weather. Excuse me. And we got a lot of time. We got the whole month of March, basically, that they're building up with a trickle flow of nectar coming in and a lot of pollen from a lot of different flowers. The blackberries blooming, the red buds are blooming, the clover's here. All the signs of spring are here for our bees in Jacksonville, Florida, Zone 9B. So this year I'm going to do the Demaray split, which keeps the hives together versus taking away the resources. So I'm going to walk you through the manipulation, and then I'm going to throw a clip in after this where I actually do it on one of my hives, and talk about some of the pros and the cons and the benefits of doing this. The overall major benefit of this is honey production. You don't lose the workforce that is growing. You keep it with the hive, but at the expense of going vertical. Expense meaning like heavy lifting, lots of boxes, perhaps that are high up in the air, and your honey supers go in the middle. Effectively, what you're doing is removing the queen and from all of her brood nest and separating the brood nest to give the sensation that the hive is essentially swarmed. You're giving the queen and the workers around her the sensation that all the bees are gone and she has plenty of room to lay, and they will just keep on going. So let's go ahead and take this double deep as an example. This could be done with a single deep, but double deep for the example of just a strong hive, because you could take a single and set another double on it and give them more space. But let's say you've already got a double and they filled it up or are about to fill it up, or they're at that time where swarming is going to happen. So I've got a couple visual aids today, and let's just go ahead and say we've got this double deep, and on inspection, we saw some queen cells. These are queen cells I'm sticking on here. And these queen cells are hanging off the bottom, so they're definitely queen cells. And the entire brood nest is just packed. In other words, this is representing a double deep with a full brood nest and just stores on the edge with no more room to lay. Maybe even more honey bound. You could have more honey, but just no room for the queen to lay. If you see queen cells, you've got to do this right away. If you don't see queen cells, but you know it's time, preemptively go ahead and doing the Demaray will prevent them from swarming. And just for an example, we're going to say, you know, the queen is here in the brood nest. Doesn't really matter, up or bottom, she has roam, free reign of the entire brood nest. So we decided we're going to do the Demaray split. How do we do that? So essentially, we're going to take away the first box and or the second box. We have to go through the hive, and we have to find the queen. So the queen's in the bottom in this example. We're gonna take off the bottom after looking for the queen, and we're gonna go through, and we are going to find our queen. We've got our queen. You need to put the queen in a cage, or you need to set her aside, because she is no longer gonna go in this box with all of this brood. So now you've got your queen, and she's in a cage, separate. And you go ahead and take this off of the bottom board. Your entire brood nest has been removed. And now you're gonna go get another box. And this box is gonna go directly on the bottom board. And this box has nothing but foundation or drawn comb if you've got it. Drawn comb, drawn comb, drawn comb. If you don't have it, throw in foundation. With one exception, and you see it marked here on the box. One frame of capped brood, or the most capped brood you have. Open brood isn't gonna ruin anything, but generally what you're trying to do is give a workforce of bees that is going to hatch out and continue to support this queen. So one frame of drawn brood right in the center, and then fill out this box with 10 frames. So she has a lot of comb to be drawn, or a lot of space to be laying in immediately if you have drawn comb available. Otherwise the workforce will have to start drawing comb. But either way, with one frame of bees, she's gonna be happy down there on that one frame, and she'll just lay on that one frame while all this gets drawn out. This takes away the sensation of overcrowding immediately. So now you're going to take your queen and you're going to put her in here. And now the queen is in the bottom box on one frame of brood. You've got her there. Now, after you get the queen in there, you're going to keep her there with a queen excluder. Okay? The queen excluder is going to keep the queen into the bottom box so she can't go anywhere. And this is essentially, she has about 3 to 4 weeks to build out a bottom box before this gets overcrowded. This is a risk with this method. It's not a set it and forget it. This is buying you time until the flow gets here. And if you do it this early here in February, you know, my 4 weeks is right at the beginning of the flow. So I'm probably still going to have to decongest this hive one more time here in about a month. But I'm buying myself time. Queen is down here and we've got it. Now is when you got to put a honey super on. This honey super is going right above the queen excluder, and it's going to give the sensation of space. If the nectar flow starts, they have room to store it. And if you keep this demarray configured all the way through the honey flow, the supers go above this queen excluder just like you might normally do. And in this honey super, you can see I've basically got drawn comb if you've got it, foundation if you don't. But in any case, this is above it and is giving space for the bees. Now you can put on either one or two honey supers, kind of based on the time of year to get it started. Here before the flow, one honey super is probably enough because they're not really storing honey. But if you're doing this as the flow is coming on, you've got to give this army some place to put all this honey. So you might want to go two supers. But you might also sense this is getting taller. This is an optional piece for me, but I am doing this method. The second queen excluder is an option. And mostly because of some things I'm going to talk about in a minute. So essentially we've got another queen excluder going on, and it's in between the honey super and what is going to be on top here, which is the brood nest we're putting on top. So now you can see this is effectively the open space that has reduced the pressure. Now we're going to take our brood nest and put it on top of this queen excluder, and we're going to cut out any of these queen cells that were created, cutting them out. Save that royal jelly for grafting if you're cutting out queen cells. If you wanted to do a small split, taking these queen cells and put them in splits, you could do that too. This is a sensation, or this is the demonstration of keeping everything together if you can, not doing any splits. But this frame with these queen cells on it could also be taken out and put in a small little one or two frame nuke to grow some splits. And then the second brood box, because this is all your brood. Taking the queen cells out, because the queen cells, we do not want them to raise a queen. And then you would put your lid on top of this. Now you see, this is a big hive. We've got an entire 10 frame brood nest above a 10 frame deep with a honey super on it. The lid goes right on top of here. Now, some of you may be thinking there's probably drones up in there, and there's probably some other bees that might be trapped that couldn't go through the queen excluder. And that is a fact. So you need to either consider, I'm not worried about the drones getting out, or you could even put on an upper entrance like this, and the upper entrance could even go here in the middle. And now you put the lid on top and the drones can get out, and or this is a free flying upper super, and the queen is still down here. I like this upper entrance method because it also offers another opportunity. I could use this second half to raise another queen. And the reason you can raise another queen is more than likely, and I'm not going to say in every case, when you separate the queen from this brood nest with two queen excluders and or one queen excluder and honey super, the top of this is going to have the sensation of being queenless. And because there's brood up in here, much of which could be open brood, they're going to start making queen cells up here. So you do have one chore you have to do in about 4 or 5 days, definitely before 7 days. You got to come in here after you do the demarray and go through these top two boxes, and you have to cut out any queen cells that they possibly made in here that are now emergency queen cells. These are emergency cells, not swarm cells. So these are going to be up higher in the brood, not necessarily hanging down on the tops or the bottoms. So the emergency cells are in there. You've got to get in there and cut them out, because if you let this upper brood chamber grow swarm cells or emergency cells, they could still swarm through this entrance down here. And if you've got an entrance, they could swarm out of here, and then you're back down to one hive. So after 7 days, because there's no one up here laying, if you cut out these queen cells, they are now hopelessly queenless in the top section. They cannot make a queen anymore. And they are essentially gonna hatch out, use this upper and lower entrance, and become part of this hive. But the queen is down here and should not swarm. I say should, because nature's messy, as we all know, and everything doesn't always happen the way we think. Now, a couple things to think about. The second queen excluder, you might argue, why do you need that there? Well, because this is just brood, you're right. You might not, you can have them come down here, and they only need, the only reason is to keep this queen from getting up here with this brood nest with a sensation of swarming. But if you miss one of these queen cells and it does hatch, or you don't get back to it, this queen could come down here and get and lay in this honey super, and or create the sensation of swarming by getting down and with the, now that's not the right way to say it, but there could be a queen that could get down here and lay eggs in your honey super if you don't catch it. The other thing that I think is a method that I might also try is, if you've got extra queen cells, you can go ahead and put a queen cell up in here and use this to raise a second queen. Not necessarily start another hive, but you could use it as a mating nucleus. Let that queen cell that you put in there that hatch out, not the ones that they built, let it hatch out, let it get mated, then you could take that out, and then this is still queenless up here. Obviously, you're gonna have to watch for queen cells and eggs up here to make more cells. So that's why this second excluder is a good option, is to keep a queen from going down that might hatch up here. The other thing that I wanna talk about that I'm probably gonna make a separate video on is queen banking. Queen banking is what you do with cells that are going to hatch into virgins and or mated queens that you don't have a hive for, or you haven't sold them if you're selling queens yet. You need a place to keep them where they're gonna get cared for. You can use an incubator to hatch, but if you use an incubator, you've got to feed and water your queens just about every day, which if you're, you know, not always home or not available, that could be a task. But if you put your queens in cages inside of a queenless box, the worker bees will more than likely continue to feed them for a period of time. Virgins, you can bank, you know, for about 7 days, but because they need to get mated. And if you have a mated queen, you can probably bank up to 4 weeks. That's quite a long time, but that's probably the limit. You could use this upper section as a bank. The other thing is, because this is queenless, this could be resource hives. You could come in here and take a frame out. You could give it another hive because you know the queen is down here. So that is the basics of this, is a vertical split, taking the brood nest away from the queen, giving the queen one frame of cap brood and a lot of space to continue to lay, honey supers for space, either one or two, and then the brood nest on top, with an optional entrance to allow drone escape or make this free flying. This entrance doesn't need to be on the front. You could turn it around to be on the back so it's an alternate entrance and prevents drifting. You could put it on the side, anything. I just wanted to be this as a demonstration. So hopefully this demo raid description made sense. And if you got any questions, let me know down below. This is a little bit of a, I'll say, an intermediate type of a task. It might not be for beginners, only because you might not have all of the equipment, but anybody can do this, especially if you understand what you're trying to do and the impulse you're giving the bees and why it works. Now, you say, well, when can you take the demo ray apart? You can take this apart when you believe the sensation of swarming is gone. Or you could leave it in this configuration for weeks, but what you'll think about is, after about 25 days, all of this brood is gonna hatch out, and all of this is gonna fill up, so there might need to be some cycling where you effectively do this over again, and maybe take this box up top, or one of these that might just all be empty drawn comb, and then re-reverse it, and put the frame of cap brood in here, and then all the drawn comb, and then put the brood nest back atop, so you can cycle it after. But you gotta think about the hatch out up here, the timing of that that could happen, take about 25 days. So that's kind of that month time frame to fill up a box and for all this to hatch out. So I'll keep you guys posted on how my demo ray splits go, but let's go into the apiary and let's do a demo ray split. And let me show you how this works, and you can see it in action. Stick with me. Okay, I'm back. So the only equipment you need to do a demo ray split is an extra deep. because effectively you're going to take the hive you've got and put the queen in the bottom with one frame of brood. So I need to go ahead and, you know, I've already got the top off. I've already got the queen isolated. She's over here and they're taking care of her. I'm going to take this bottom box off now and move it to the side. One of the things about these, you know, you need honey supers, but I'm assuming as a beekeeper, you've got honey supers. This is also, because there's not really a honey flow on, this is probably the time to have them draw out some honey supers, right? You don't really need them to be storing honey. So if one of your boxes has got, you know, wax foundation, this is the time to do that, right? Get it ready for the honey flow if they're gonna draw it out. But either way, you're giving them the space. So this is a brand new box with frames. I've already got them waxed up. If you've got drawn comb, that is a good thing to put in here too. So she has got room to lay. And I do have some drawn comb. So I'm gonna put a few frames in here like this. Like, see, this is drawn comb that needs to be cleaned up by them. I'm gonna take out some of the super nasty stuff and let them draw that back out. Let me see what else I got I can give them. Here's one they've started to draw, right, that I took out of another hive. This has got some wax on it. These frames are not as important right now as the ones we're going to do in a minute that you have to get right. Okay, the queen is going in the bottom box. Uh-oh, broken frame, you're done. See that? End of life. All right, the queen is gonna stay in the bottom with one frame of brood, that's it. Capped brood is probably best. Open, completely open is probably not best, because you want essentially to get some nurse bees down here. You're effectively getting ready to remove all the nurse bees from this hive. So if you remember, the top of my other hive had all the capped brood in it because it was isolated from the queen. So let's get one of those capped brood frames we were oohing and aahing about a few minutes ago. All right, capped brood, room to lay. This is mama's only frame. Everything else is gonna be space. This one can go on the bottom too. It's a little bit of drawn, a little bit of food. Now remember, we're not taking resources from this hive. It's just not gonna be with the queen. They're gonna have honey. All that honey is still gonna be with her. So you remember what comes next? The queen. They're sitting here taking care of her. I put my eyes on her. There she is. Uh-oh, broke my rubber band. There's mama. Come on down. Get a drink first. All right, come on down. Come on down. Come on down. There she goes, she's down. All right, what comes next? We use the same one, the queen excluder. What comes next? Two. You could probably use one. This is all about space. You could probably use one. Because there's no, I'm gonna use two, just to give it the full full deal. So there's two honey supers. Now, because the flow is not on, they don't really need to be storing that much honey. Now, so I'm gonna use one. I'm gonna use this one right here without the drawn frame. Let's see. Yeah, this is the one they need to start drawing out. So I'm gonna do one frame today because there is no honey flow on. This is not about storing honey. And if I only do one frame, I'm isolating the queen a little bit less from the brood, which means they might not feel queenless. Now, what's next? All of our brood, it goes on the top, both open and closed. So essentially you're just putting the hive back together like it was. Now she can't lay up here. So what is up here though? You remember? A couple of these frames had open brood in it. 100% open brood. What's that gonna do? If they think they're queenless, they're gonna make a queen cell up here. So, in about 4 to 7 days, you know me, I'm out here almost every day when I'm not at work, I need to make sure I come up here and pull any queen cells. And then they will be hopelessly queenless up here. So that is the beauty of the Demaree method. Now, I'm using my broodminder here, and this is gonna be between the major portion of the brood. And let's see, I took one frame from there, so I need one more frame here. Essentially using the space. This has got a lot of food in it. I'm getting ready to cut you off, so I'm gonna stack this up here and bring it around. Oh gosh, look at that. This is why those lower hive scales were supposed to be helpful. This is why I built them also. You can still see me. Uh-oh, guess what I forgot? Forgot to put. My oxalic acid in here, in the brood nest. Keep those mice at bay. My beetle traps. Beetles are at bay. My beetle technique is working. I'm not ready to tell you about it yet. I'm asking the state if I'm allowed to tell you. Bringing you around. All right, since I can't write way up here, taking my notes. 2:23. There is a green queen. I'm just saying Demaree. Split. All right, what have we done? We've done a vertical split. I'm also checking my queen excluders, making sure I am. We did a vertical split. The queen is down here and is going to sense with her workers that come back that they have swarmed. All that space, one frame of brood, they got 10 frames in there, some of it needs drawn out. A queen excluder to keep her from getting up into this space, but the workers can now come up and down. They can take the honey, they can bring it down, they can move it around. This single super is creating a gap that may make this top hive feel queenless, and they may take some of these eggs up here and turn them into queen cells. So I need to come back in a few days when the queen cells are not capped, but are being made, and cut them out. So they will be hopelessly queenless up here. This eventually would turn into honey supers if I don't re-manipulate it when the honey flow is on. This is what I'm going to try as a pre-honey flow split to maintain the size of this hive. And if they get too big up here, I may just keep adding more supers. I don't really like honey in my deeps, so I'm not going to we'll see. We'll play with that in April when the flow is here. Right now, we're just trying to keep this very strong high from splitting before they do. So if you stuck with me and you saw this on the first video, thank you for watching. We just did a demaray on this. I'm going to take this portion of the video and reuse it on the lesson video that'll be dedicated to how to do a demaray. But it's a vertical split. It takes a little bit of extra equipment. You needed an extra deep. You needed some more frames to make them empty. Drawn would be better. Foundation is fine because they can get to work on that. You need to start using supers to create some space and let these worker bees start going up and down between two different excluders and keeping that queen down here in the bottom. Now, that queen can fill up 10 frames this time of year pretty quick, so this is not a set it and forget it. You bought time, but of course, you've got an army here that's not in the trees. And from what I have read, this is a very reliable way of keeping a hive from swarming, but I guess time will tell. I do want to give a shout out to my stands I put on the bottom. This type of vertical height with all this height weight I would not have done on my 4x4 center block stand. So anyway, I think that was a good move. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope it wasn't too much content for you in one sitting. Let me know if you stuck all the way to the end, if you're still here. Put a comment below and say, I made it to the end, Chuck. Anyway, happy beekeeping, and we'll see you soon.